Galesburg's Evening News on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. Good evening. Thanks for joining us. I'm Will Stevenson. There's a discussion on the Knox College campus tonight we thought we'd tell you about. It's going to start at 7, so if you have time to head to the trustees room at Alumni Hall, you might want to do so, because the topic is, as it's presented, Dying in America, Policies That Deter Adequate End-of-Life Care. And Knox alum, Anita, your last name again?
Tarzian.
I just completely blanked on that.
That's okay.
You're a Knox alum, and you're part of the University of Maryland School of Nursing and Graduate School, and part of the Maryland Healthcare Ethics Committee Network. So, and you're here on campus talking about this issue tonight. Welcome back to Galesburg. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, it's great to be here.
How serious of a discussion in terms of healthcare is this? And I think, because I imagine it's one of those subjects that, unfortunately, I don't think people maybe think about as early on as they should, and almost when it's too late, I would imagine.
Yeah, I think there's a saying that goes, you always have your breakthrough in therapy 10 minutes before the end of the session. We are programmed to procrastinate, especially in this culture. And especially that's really difficult nowadays with the technology that we have. Waiting to have these kinds of discussions in a crisis moment puts really a lot of burden on families and patients.
So the best advice, really, I imagine, from that standpoint, is regardless of perhaps these things that hinder such care and things like that, is to really start thinking about it. You know, I imagine around the time you start thinking about things like making a will and such.
Yeah, it's funny how you get on an airplane and they go through this spiel about how if the plane crashes, here's what's going to happen. And everybody just, you know, accepts that, the instructions. But when we talk about having that more serious conversation in a different context, it makes people uncomfortable. So there's a lot of initiatives now, though, that are trying to help people just have those kind of conversations with their families in a way that makes it easier. It's really kind of a gift to your loved ones so that they're not as pressured in those moments.
Efforts spurred on by the Affordable Health, by the Affordable Care Act or things like that, or something else?
Well, actually, it's probably predates that. There's about 80% of our healthcare dollars are spent on about 20% of the people, and it even gets more extreme when you get into the smaller numbers. I think it's 3 to 5% of the population is accounting for about 55% of the healthcare dollars. So in other words, we're spending a lot of money on fewer numbers of people, and we're not seeing the kind of quality indicators we would like for that kind of money that we're spending. So it's the worst of both worlds, in a sense.
I was going to say, is that part of the end of life problem, care problems that are hindering things now?
Yeah, I think that there's been a focus on getting away from just acute care and waiting until a crisis moment and focusing on more quality of life, especially in the last year of life, where we tend to spend a lot of money. Again, it would be fine to spend the money if you got the outcomes that would show that it was worth it. But we're seeing the opposite, really, that people are not having their pain and symptoms controlled, not having that support for family. And there are resources out there. They're just not known about. So that's really the focus.
I say, so that must be job one, is getting more awareness about some of these things that are available, right?
Right. Yeah. There's all kinds of, obviously, there's information on websites. www.mydirectives.com takes you through a process where even something as simple as appointing a healthcare agent, somebody who would be legally authorized to make decisions for you if you couldn't for yourself, is a real simple first step. And then you can, you know, go into other kinds of decisions. And that website does a really good job kind of prompting you on how to have that conversation with someone that you love.
Not to completely give away your talk in about less than an hour and a half here, but what sorts of other things will people hear about? What other issues are there?
Well, I think that the main challenge, I think, in 21st century healthcare is that we have more and more technology that's wonderful because it's saving lives, but it's also increasing the complexity of the decisions that people have to make at the end of life. It's extending time in the ICU. We have people that are a new category of patients, this chronic critical illness, where they are unable to get off of ICU-type technology, so they get transitioned to subacute facilities. And those conversations that weren't had in the first place don't get had then after they get down the road where families are kind of invested in not having all of that be worth nothing. And so they're kind of in a limbo state and really feeling kind of unsupported in that decision making.
I imagine that once you get in a situation like that, it's just panic on top of panic. I mean, having to you know, manage someone's care, and knowing it may be close to the end.
People feel a lot of burden.
Yeah,
that they are, and sometimes it's false decisions that they're given, so that instead of being told, you know what, we have done everything we can to try and, you know, treat this illness in a way that, you know, we can cure it or extend quality time, but we're at a different point now. And we want to, you know, have a conversation about how would your dad or whoever, sister, want to spend the time they have left? What would be important to them? And then helping guide people in that journey in whatever time you have left.
Are there any problems or concerns that can be addressed by, you know, legislation? Is politics a factor here, or is it more just, you know, sort of people don't know what to do?
Well, there was a few years ago this discussion about death panels, and that was just something that was, I think, a way to use terminology to scare people and thinking that there are people going to go pull the plug on your ventilator. But really what it was reimbursing physicians and other healthcare providers to have a conversation about preferences that could be documented in a way that would help down the road. That's all it was. And so that was funded. And so, it is possible now to at least incentivize clinicians to have those kind of conversations.
We're unfortunately short on time, but again, your presentation is at 7 o'clock tonight in the Alumni Hall Trustees Room at Knox. And I know you're going to be at the Knox campus for a couple of days talking with students and faculty alike. You were telling me off the air, it's been a while since you've been back.
Oh, yeah, not since, I can't believe it, 2009.
Wow. What sorts of things will you be talking with the students in the classes about?
Well, I was in the Peace Corps, so I'm going to talk with a group who are interested in Peace Corps service. We have the pre-health students. We're going to be talking about ethics related to clinical ethics work, healthcare ethics, opportunities in new fields that are emerging in ethics and healthcare. And let's see. Or did I forget anything? I think.
Well, you have a couple of days to sort all that out. So.
Yeah, we have all kinds of good activities, so I'm excited.
All right, Anita Tarzian, thank you so much again for joining us. And again, welcome back to Galesburg. We sure appreciate you spending some time with us.
Thank you.